Coming up, I'm going to share the one success hack that most people avoid, and then another case of a company spying on employees. I'm going to get fired up today. And we're going to coach you up. Let's go. Coaching you up to make more money and more impact so that you're winning at work and in life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken, your coach. Let's get right to it. So the one success hack that most people avoid. I could make you guess, but I won't do that to you on this lovely day. The answer? Giving constructive criticism. Now, I just know by the nature of that phrase, that concept, most of you that are listening or watching right now, just you kind of had a little pucker factor going on. Oh boy, constructive criticism. Right? Why? Because no matter how constructive, no matter how healthy that you dole out that criticism, it is a form of confrontation. And we humans, most of us, I should say, what most people think confrontation is, I think is just good old healthy communication. So I'm a little bit of a freak on that. You know, I'm a truth teller, baby. Always have been, very direct. So, by the way, that causes its own problems. All right. So I've got enough issues over there, but I'm just saying, like, I don't have a lot of angst over it. In fact, my angst is if I don't tell you exactly what I'm thinking. But I'm a freak, and I understand that. I'm in a small percentage of the human population. So for most of you, the idea of constructive criticism freaks you out. And that's okay. Because I want to walk through what I believe are some very practical ways to deliver constructive criticism so for you to harness the power of it. Because for those women and men who know how to give constructive criticism, especially in a leadership authority position. And that's the context by which I'm going to teach on this issue. Because for those of you who aren't in a leadership position, the way that the professional world works is for most of you, as you move up the ladder, you will move into some type of authority role. And if you can harness the skill of delivering constructive criticism, game changer. So let's dive in. Most people are afraid to deliver it, but if you understand how to do it, you can harness it. So here we go. I'm going to give you 9 tips. I'll move through this quickly. For those of you watching on YouTube, you can pause and write them down. For those of you that are listening live, you can go on YouTube and watch it if you need to take the notes. So I'm going to try to go quickly, but also allow you to take notes. So here we go. Number one, it starts, constructive criticism being effective starts with the right time to share it. So you got to pick or choose the right time to share this feedback, because that's all this is feedback. And for the rest of this segment, as I'm talking about constructive criticism, we're going to now call it feedback, because I think using that word helps those of us who have to give it. And I also think it helps those who have to receive it. It's feedback. It doesn't have to be critical. It's just feedback. So choose a good time to share it. For instance, don't share it in front of other people. Don't share it maybe right in the heat of a moment when they have made a mistake. Don't share it if maybe they're going through something tough personally. Don't share it in that moment. Sleep on it yourself. Hey, don't you share it when maybe you're fired up about it. Choose the right time to share feedback. Number two, be very specific. One of the worst things you can do in sharing feedback, and again, folks, this is a context of professional or personal. You use it however you want to apply this today. But one of the things that really makes feedback backfire is when you're too general. When you're trying to dance around the topic. And when you are unclear, here's what happens to the person that you are giving the feedback to. When you're unclear, their mind begins to race to try to fill in the blanks. And that is dangerous, because what they may fill their mind with, or the blanks with, if you will, may not be what you're trying to say. And here you set out to give them feedback in a positive way to help them. And it just blows up in your face. Number three, focus on the situation, not them. Focus on the circumstance, the situation that played out that you're giving feedback to. Here's what I saw. Here's what I heard. Here's what I felt. Here's what they saw. Here's what they said. Here's what they and it's, here's what happened. Here's the situation. And in the situation, they play a part in the narrative. Don't make it all about what they did. Make it about the situation. Number four, give examples. Very specific examples that are tied to the specific feedback. It's very important that you paint a clear picture. Number six, have empathy for them. So if you got to tell them something that's hard to hear, how about saying things like, hey, I know this is hard to hear. What you're about to feel is not going to be good. It sucks. I felt this way before. I get it. This isn't fun for me either. We move into a spirit, if you will, of compassion and empathy. Compassion is, I want to help you. I care for you. That's compassion. Empathy is, I understand what you're feeling. I've been there. I know what it's like. Number seven, listen to them. This is not about you swooping in and dropping something in their lap and then going, all right, you deal with that. I'm out. No, you share the feedback and then have enough courage, enough character to look at them and go, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Do you have questions? Do you have comments? That's vitally important. Listen to them. I didn't write this down, but let me just add this. This is in the category of listening because we think listening is always with the ear, but watch their body language. Watch their face. What are they saying to you with their face or with their body that you need to pick up on? Number eight, decide how you'll check in later. Hey, I'm giving you some feedback. This isn't a one-time thing. Hey, I want to walk with you through this, through the changes that we need to make. I want to keep giving you feedback and accountability in this area, not to harp on you, but to help you grow. Don't make it about this one time. You need to deal with this. No, hey, I'm walking with you. I want to help you grow. I want to help you overcome this. And then number nine, always use positive tone and positive posture. Positive tone, positive posture. I got to tell you that I always think of the times when I got broken up with in life. And it would have been great had the girl kind of bebopped into the room maybe or something. And she's like, hey, Ken, how you doing? Oh, well, we need to talk. Nobody does that, right? It's always walking in ominously, your posture sunken, closed up, face serious. How about positive tones? How about positive posture to go, hey, this isn't the end of the world. This isn't life-changing news. It's going to help you. Now, why? Because if you can start to deliver feedback the right way, you're going to stand out. Rocking the 80s movie or 80s TV show soundtrack on that bump. Joe Hankin, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. That kind of took me back a little bit. Felt like maybe I had a skinny skateboard underneath the desk and I was going to have to ride out of here today.
New intros today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we coach you up to win at work and in life. Have you ever had a moment when you discover something new? No matter what it is, it's all exciting, changes your outlook. You've never experienced it before. Maybe it was a new hobby or a new city or a new restaurant. Well, this can happen with your work. We've seen literally 40 to 50 million people change jobs from August of 2021 to where we sit today. Because people are going, hey, life is too short to work in a job that's just okay. It's certainly too short to work in a job that sucks. And newness can be wonderful if it's the right newness. That's why I endorse my friends at ZipRecruiter. It's a free service to you. Companies pay them to have access to talent. Within minutes, you set up a profile. It's free and it stays free. And they begin to pitch you, recruit on your behalf while you're living your life. An awesome job could be right around the corner. Let ZipRecruiter work for you. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. All right. Folks, I told you that I'm a man of the people, and I'm going to continue to be scouring the country for stories where companies are treating their people like toddlers. And maybe this is the worst one I've seen. Let's get to it in the news. Here we go. So this story went viral on TikTok first, as is kind of the norm these days. And it is a story that blows my mind. And to the point that, Alex, I know this will never happen. Maybe it will. But I would love to invite the CEO of that company on the show to defend these policies. Because I got to tell you, it is embarrassing how leaders treat people. So the story is this. A lady by the name of Chasmin, I hope I'm saying that right. I'm hooked on phonics. That's the way it looks. So I'm going to say Chasmin. Her name's Chasmin Johnson. She goes on TikTok to tell people that she is a remote worker, and she has a company computer in her home. And the employer is monitoring their remote workers via the webcam or the camera in the laptop. And so apparently she did not lock her computer up and gets up from her computer. She's working from home, folks. And she goes to the stove or the oven and begins to cook. And they locked her computer up. So here's, we're going to show you two videos. For those of you who can't see this, you can hear what she's saying on TikTok. So let's play the first video.
Now, these people done locked my computer. They done locked my computer because I was in the kitchen cooking. Bro, this is why they don't want us working from home, because look at these. I am in.
Okay, so in the video she just showed, for those of you who can't see it and are listening along, it literally says, it has taken a screenshot of her at her, I could see she's at the stove or the oven doing something, right? And it says, note, not at desk in all caps, and then it says, action applied. And what they did was they literally locked her out of her computer. Well, with the point being that she now has to contact her administrator, her boss, to have her computer unlocked. Are you kidding me? Now, again, I am not in any way getting in between the whole should she have been at her oven at that time, but I mean, really? Like, she wasn't, you know, out in the backyard tanning. She's in full view of her computer. This is not a woman who's sneaking around. So I'm going to show another video and then I'm going to fully break this down. All right. So basically she puts that on TikTok and people were like, well, wait a second. Why didn't you cover the camera? Why didn't you do this? And so she addresses the policies of the company. And I want you to listen to this and I want you to go, is this treating adults like adults? Is this treating an adult, a human, like they should have some dignity? You be the judge. Listen to her response.
Okay, y'all. So unfortunately, I am not allowed to cover my camera. If it was up to me, I wouldn't even have the camera plugged in. So the webcam is to take pictures of you throughout the day. If you're not at your desk, it locks your computer. If there's somebody in the background, it locks your computer. If you have a mobile device, it locks your computer. So we're not allowed to cover it. It takes pictures of you throughout the day. Unfortunately, I got up from my desk and I forgot to lock my screen. And it took a picture of me, and it literally took me like 45 minutes to get back in, because this is happening all throughout the day, not just with me, but for other employees as well. By the way, I'm in Texas. If you know another work from home job, please DM me or post it in the comments, because I'm sick of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally sick of it. So, yeah.
Okay. So now there's lots to unpack here, but let's just first start with the fact that if you're going to have remote workers, you've got to trust them, period. But you're going to take, listen, did you hear what she said? If you weren't paying attention, I want to point this out. If at any point when she's on her computer, if the computer sees her cell phone in her hand, boom, locks her out. If another person walks back through the background, they lock the computer. Folks, this is nonsensical, horrible bossery. This is, why would you have remote workers? You might as well just tell them they all got to work in the building, so you could have a police officer, a hall monitor, a nanny walking around looking at everybody. And then, if that's not ridiculous enough, it took 45 minutes to get her computer unlocked because it's happening all over the place. So these morons are killing company productivity by spying on people. Not only is it undignified, it's horrible leadership. Imagine the poor IT department. Hey, Fred, we got three more computers locked down over in Oklahoma. Are you kidding me? That's what's going on here? I know, I'm getting to it. So then the company sees her TikToks, and of course they got their feelings hurt, because idiots are always the ones who get their feelings hurt. Like, morons do stupid stuff, and then when somebody calls out, well, that's kind of dumb, they get really pissy. And so then they fired her at first, Alex. The story says they fired her when they discovered the TikTok videos. So then, like 30 minutes after they fired her, they actually got back to her and said, hey, you're not fired, you're suspended indefinitely while we do an investigation. So these idiots probably realize we can't fire her for this, or some lawyer was like, hey, slow your roll. It's like absolute dumpster fire of an organization. And I wish I knew the name of the company. I actually should have looked it up and called them out, because I don't mind calling out horrible leadership. You cannot treat people like they're toddlers. This is the kind of stuff my wife and I did when we had three kids under the age of 3, 4, and 5. We were spying on the kids through the baby monitor. Why? Because they're supposed to be napping. That's different. And I honestly, as a parent of that generation, I used to think, you know what? My mom and dad didn't have a camera. They just didn't worry about it. Unless I fell out of the crib or got out of the room, they just let it be. What are we doing? Leaders, when you spy on people, the very thing you're trying to do, which is increase productivity, is gone because you've lost all loyalty. How is this that hard to figure out? It's about results, not punching a time clock and sitting in front of a computer all day long. Let them eat. Let them go to the potty, you moronic leaders. All right, folks, here's what I know. I'm a big sports fan, and I know this. No great team has ever won without a coach. They had a coach. They may not have needed a whole lot out of that coach. I do question how much the Bulls team needed Phil Jackson. Sorry, Bulls fans. I wonder how much the Patriots with Tommy Brady needed Bill Belichick. I do wonder how much. All right? But let me tell you this, they still needed the coach. I don't know how much, but they need a coach. Everybody needs a coach. I need a coach. You need a coach. You need a coach in your marriage. You need a coach in your parenting. You need a coach in your personal growth life. You need a coach in your career. You need a coach in your physical health. We all need a coach. Because if we're going to maximize our potential, you will not do it on your own. You got to have a coach. And I can tell you, I got a lovely text this morning from my speech teacher and my drama teacher, and she was the director of our high school dramas, and she sent me a lovely text this morning. I tell you, Joy Bryant, she's been in every book I've written, and she was my coach when it came to acting and drama. And I'm going to tell you something. She had an incredible impact on my life. Coach Benny Polk, my high school basketball coach. Incredible impact on me. Jay Jarvis, first soccer coach I ever had. I still remember I was a third grader. Incredible impact on me. Everybody needs a coach. So that's why I'm passionate about taking the Ken Coleman Show and spreading out the coaching I do on the show so that those of you who need a coach can get a world-class certified career coach. They've been doing it a long time, even coaching executives. And we've assembled a world-class roster to kind of wade into this space. So if that's something you're interested in, it's limited in this pilot program. Move now. We have a few spots still open. KenColeman.com/coaching. KenColeman.com/coaching. Let's go to Des Moines, Iowa for a little coaching right now. Joe is there. Joe, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Happy birthday, Ken.
Thank you, Joe. What's going on?
Hey, got a question about job opportunity.
Okay.
It's a good place to be in.
All right.
We just moved to a small town in Iowa, mm-hmm. and so the small town factor comes into play. I took a teaching job 6 months ago, and then a company B has reached out to me and offered me an administration position within their company. More pay. It's not a teaching job, so you work year-round instead of a teaching contract. Mm-hmm. But I'm afraid I'm burning bridges being in a small town and only being in the first teaching position for 6 months.
I don't think you need to be afraid of burning bridges. I think you need to be realistic that you are going to disappoint somebody. But there's a big difference between disappointing someone and burning a bridge. Do you understand? Do you see that difference?
Sure. Yep, definitely.
So I'll get to that in a second. I want to come back to that, but I first want to make sure, why did you sign up to be a teacher? Was this a long-term play, or was this just a short-term opportunity where you're like, I'll try it? Because now all of a sudden, we get another opportunity that seems to be very different than teaching. And again, I've got no problem with this. I just want to make sure this isn't a paycheck play. Is this a purpose play?
You're right. Yep. So I was a teacher for about 7 years, and then I moved out of teaching into a nonprofit field.
Okay.
And then once we moved, I went back into teaching. And then this nonprofit field, which was the same that I had done previously, that's in this town, not the same company, but a different nonprofit, reached out and said, oh, we heard you have experience. We're in need of somebody immediately. Here's our salary. Would you want to do that?
Okay. So is this something that you want to do long term? Does it put you on a ladder that you want to climb?
It does.
Great. Okay. That's all I needed to know. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want you to just chase a paycheck. And it's not because I just want to slide in a mention of my best-selling book From Paycheck to Purpose, like I just did there. See, I'm not just, I'm not just doing it. It's because
teaching, I think there's also a teaching. I can also see myself getting an admin license and moving up into administration.
Okay. Perfect.
Very soon within that.
Perfect. So this gets you into a leadership role, and I think that's great. I just don't, there are a lot of people that have changed jobs and now they regret it. And the paycheck wears off. That's the whole point I'm making. So I love that this is a bigger paycheck. And I love that it puts you on a ladder to climb to where you want to go. So check, all good. Now, let's talk about how you leave. We get this call a lot, and I'm always humbled and I'm honored that people want my advice on this thing. But my advice, quite frankly, isn't that good because it's just simple. And my advice is, I want you to change roles for just a moment in your mind right now. And I want you to think about if you were the people you're working for, okay? Knowing all the things that we know, if you were them, you would be disappointed with you showing up telling them you're leaving. True or false?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, disappointment is okay. So I want you to know, so now you go, okay, if I were in their shoes, I'd be disappointed too. So let's just get over that. Now, beyond the disappointment, how would you want you to express that you're leaving where you're leaving to, and why you are leaving. What would you want to hear? What would make you feel good, or as good as possible, rather, if you were in their shoes? Answer that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just being open with them, saying, you know, this is
where I'm going.
I saw myself in.
I just gave you a great outline. And by the way, I'm teaching the rest of the audience too. So while I'm coaching Joe, let me tell you all what the outline is. When you've got to leave, you want to know how to not burn a bridge, we start with, and this is an outline. We're going to make it up on the spot. It just came to me. First thing we're going to do is we're going to tell them where we're going. And then you're going to tell them why you are going. Just tell them, this is why I'm going. Yep. It's an opportunity to step into leadership position, administrative position, where's what I ultimately want to go. And so it's fast forwarding my ultimate dreams. And it's also making me more money. So I am hitting the fast forward button professionally and financially. People understand that. Doesn't mean that they're going to go, "Wee-hee, Joe's leaving us," but they understand that. So we're going to say, this is where I'm going. That's step one. Why I'm going, and then when I'm going. And that's you going, I'll give you 2 weeks, I'll give you a month, I'll give you 6 weeks notice, you know, whatever that looks like. But that's your basic little outline so that you're clear going in and communicating this. And the clearer you are before you have this conversation, the more confident you will be in having this conversation. Because I'm going to tell you something. We started off the show today, Joe, teaching about those of you that are in leadership positions, learning the art and skill of constructive criticism, which is feedback. And I talked about how it feels like confrontation. Let me just tell you something. The reason you called today and the reason I continue to get these kind of calls, Ken, I'm leaving, how do I leave well, is because it is a confrontation. Emotionally, it feels like confrontation, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and it feels yucky, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I even felt yucky just even talking to the company B.
Right.
You know.
But let me just share something. You've done nothing immoral by listening to another offer and accepting another offer, true or false?
Right. Yep,
okay, true. Great. So it's not immoral, and it's also not illegal, is it?
Right.
So what's weird is people feel guilty about doing this as if you've done something wrong, and yet you just told me you're doing nothing wrong. So you know what it really is, folks? And I've had enough of these phone calls that I can break this down. It's actually not guilt you're feeling. You know what it is? You want to take a guess, Joe? It's not guilt. What is the emotion? Do you know what it is? It's okay.
No, I don't.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to set you free. You're afraid. Of what people,
afraid
of what people are going to think about you or say about you. Oh, there it is, folks. And so what happens is you run that through, and it's natural, and you go, oh gosh, what are they going to say about me? You're like, how are they going to treat me? And what we realize quickly is, oh, it doesn't feel good. And then we go, oh gosh, it doesn't feel good. So that means I must not be a good person. When what it really is, I'm afraid about what they're going to say about me and think about me and how they're going to act when I tell them. I got to break up with them, and I'm afraid to break up with them.
Yeah.
And I've said this a million times. I'll never forget. I got broken up with one time in college. This girl started the conversation sobbing. I thought someone in her family died. And then she got garbled through it to tell me she was dumping me. Like, why are you crying? Because she was so worried about what I was going to think about her. She was selfish. You're fine, Joe. Go do what you believe you're supposed to do. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Money should be fun, not stressful. I'm Rachel Cruze, and I'll show you practical tips on how to save money in your everyday life and get out of debt even faster on The Rachel Cruze Show. I'll show you that you can take control of your money and create a life you love. Listen to The Rachel Cruze Show wherever you listen to podcasts.